May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The portion of Scripture around which our meditation is based is that read just a few moments ago from Hebrews chapter 10, particularly these words. You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Faculty and staff, students and loved ones of students and faculty and staff, greetings to you from the Texas District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, 350 congregations, 140,000 baptized members in those congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. One of the purposes for my being here today, in addition to hosting a gathering of the Texas students, those who have connections with Texas this evening, is to be sure that, contrary to public opinion, you all know that district presidents have only one head. It indeed will be your responsibility to decide whether or not there's anything in that head. Seriously, my brief moments with you this day are for the purpose of assuring you of God's love and God's grace, God's forgiveness and God's power in your life, and challenging you with God's will for your life. The text in Hebrews chapter 10 is a difficult one, yet, in so many ways, it's so simple and so significant. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. What is the will of God? And how easy is it to do the will of God? You have been in the classroom now on this campus this year for the fifth day, I understand. Professor Reuning and Professor Bohagen and Professor Seleska assured me that many of you are very pleased that you are one-tenth of the way through this first quarter already. No doubt you are well into pluperfects and the treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope, and you're anxious and yearning to dig deeper. You're also undoubtedly looking forward to that day when, in this very sanctuary, names and places will be called as graduating students in the fourth year class are assigned through the direction and leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit to places of ministry and mission in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Perhaps it's your idea and your ideal that following that service, as you go into those congregations, you and that congregation will coexist in a great sense of peace and prosperity. You and the congregation will get along famously. They will love you, and you will love them. Indeed, that is much of the stuff of which the parish ministry consists. But in addition to that, there will be people in your parishes who struggle with the real stuff of which life is made. The presence of sin, the presence of Satan, the presence of selfishness in their lives and in the lives of the world in which they live. Some of those presences and some of those problems which come from those realities will cause you to want to pull out your hair as you attempt to portray and to communicate to those people in word, through sacrament, and also through the example of your daily life, what the will of God is in their lives. The will of God is perfectly communicated in Holy Scriptures to us in places such as the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. That is the will of God. In such places as the great commandments of God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the perfect will of God. Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. That is the will of God. As we heard in this past Sunday's gospel, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. My friends in Christ, that is the perfect will of God. It's no secret that even though we, faced with the routine challenges and difficulties and even traumas of our daily lives, may wring our hands, sometimes even in despair, and say, "My, don't we have our crosses to bear?" Yet that's not the kind of cross Jesus was talking about in that specific text, because the cross that he took is the one that he carried part of the way and someone else carried it the rest of the way, but he bore it all the way to Golgotha, to the place of the skull. And there he was hanged on that tree in order to fulfill that perfect will of God in our stead and in our place. So when he tells us that his perfect will is for us to take up his cross, he's not talking about worrying about the academic requirements of this quarter. He's talking about following him to the cross. Who among us, as old or as young, as new or as experienced in the Christian faith, can say, "Sure, I have done the will of God"? The scriptures say that we are spiritually blind, spiritually dead, spiritual enemies of God. How in the world can we possibly hope to accomplish the will of God? But this text also says, you will receive what he has promised. What has God promised? God has promised that we are his people, that he is our God. God has promised to be with us always to the end of the age. God has promised that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. God has promised that we will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. God has promised that because of Jesus Christ, we indeed have that hope, that assurance that we will someday be with him in his bodily presence after this life on earth, this veil of tears is ended, as we are taken with him to those portals of heaven which he has prepared for us. God has promised that we are his. That promise, my friends in Christ, is not dependent upon us as human beings. It's not even dependent upon our ability to accomplish God's holy and perfect will. That promise is dependent upon God's faithfulness. And by the grace of God, as he pours his love into our hearts, through the power of the Spirit, through his word, and through his sacraments, as he pours that love into our hearts, we have no option, and we desire to do nothing more than to be his people. As written in the last words of this text, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who believe and are saved. Even the very act of believing is no less than a gift of God, as he creates that beautiful and marvelous childlike faith in Jesus Christ in our hearts. As you continue your preparation for the office of the pastoral ministry, a high and holy calling, to be sure. A challenging and difficult task, absolutely. It is my prayer and my hope that that faith which God has created and begun in you will grow and develop and nourish as he keeps his promise in your life and empowers you to do his will. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.